Today, we're glad you came and chose to be with us. This is a great Sunday to be here. I also want to say welcome to our Kidmo kids. We're glad to have you in here. They're going to be in part of the service, and it looks like, and some of our launch group is, or dive group is here too. They're going to be watching part of our service today, because what we're doing today is part of worship. It's, as Don mentioned, there are two sacraments that we as a church participate in. A sacrament literally is something that Jesus said, I want you to do this to remember. Remember why I came. Remember what you're living as a follower of mine. And the first one is baptism, and Jesus demonstrated that himself. The second is communion. And he told the apostles, before he died, I want you to remember what I'm doing, and I want you to continue doing this to remember the sacrifice I made for you. So what I wanted to do, just real briefly, is I wanted to tell you, for some of you that may think this is weird, and why do we have a stock tank up in the front of the warehouse today, but I want to explain why we do baptism, and I also want to give an invitation that if you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but you've never been baptized, I want to invite you to take the opportunity to be baptized today, and even if you came not being prepared for that, we're prepared for you, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. One of the questions I wanted to basically mention to you is what is baptism? Why do we do this? Why is there a tank of water here? Or why in other churches do they have on the back wall this big water tank or swimming pool, as I thought it was when I was a kid, thinking that's where I should be able to go during church, just go hang out in the baptistry, swim around a little bit. But literally, you know, why do we do it? What is baptism? Romans 6:4, it says, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. There is power in following the example of Jesus and following the command of Jesus to be baptized. And literally, we get that word from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse. What we did was we transliterated that word. To transliterate means you take a word and you find its English equivalent, and then you just turn it into an English word. But it's not an English word. We don't use it for any other context other than this. We call it to be baptized or baptism. Literally to be immersed. That's what it is. It's not magical. There's not some incredible power. The bottom line of why we do it is because Jesus told us, I want you to follow my example. Matthew 28:19 says this, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission. Jesus said, I want you to go out, tell people about who I am, what I have done for them, the kind of relationship they can have with Christ, and I want you to baptize them. Now, what does it mean between those two verses that I just read to you? One of the greatest things that we celebrate, or the greatest thing we celebrate, as a community of faith, is the fact that we have a Savior who's willing to give his life for us. As we go through and read all the stories of all different religions, there's only one that says, I gave my life for you because I love you. And God has demonstrated his love to you and to me by saying, you are worth dying for. And so as we go back and we follow the life of Jesus, literally he was tortured and murdered because there was something in the world that needed to be cleansed, and it was sin. And for every one of us, I don't have to explain what that is. There's just something inside of us that we know something's not right, or we shouldn't be doing something, or something is harmful to us or to other people. We know that it's just within our nature. Jesus said, I have come to give you life. And for the last 3 weeks, we have been talking about freedom, experiencing freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from hopelessness, freedom from a life without purpose. Freedom from being in bondage, and what we've seen is we often place ourselves in that position. But Jesus came to set you free. And he said, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Some people ask. Saved from ourselves. Saved from our sin. Saved from a life without God. Saved from a future apart from God in heaven. We are saved from those things. One of the things I love about what Paul writes about in Romans is that when we are baptized, we literally are mimicking the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ by saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want that freedom that he offers. I want to experience that, and I want the world to know that I am a child of God. So we have this tank here, and I know we have two people today that are going to be baptized. And if you are here today and you have never been baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to do that. Now, I realize that when you come to church not prepared to get in a tank of water, you think that's not a real good idea, right? At least unless if you're over 15, we'll say. If you're under 15, it's a good time to get in a tank no matter what. We've got some shorts and some t-shirts that you can go back in the next couple of songs, and you can change clothes and come out if you would like to be baptized. And when you're baptized, what that literally means is you're going to be sitting in this tank of water, and as I lower you into the water, you are immersed, the meaning of baptism, baptizo, to be immersed. As you go under that water, just as Romans says, it is literally symbolizing you are dying to the person you were before. You're dead. But when you come out of that water, just as Jesus walked out of the grave, you are coming into a new life of faith in Christ and walking in freedom, knowing that the Holy Spirit is living within you. It is ministering to you, teaching you all things about God, and you are a child of God from that point for the rest of eternity. And if you would like to take part in that, then I want to invite you to do that. We're going to have somebody in the back that's going to have the t-shirts and shorts, and I know that's weird. I know that's weird. But what I do know is every time you're obedient to the call of Christ, it matters. Every time he says to do something and you do it, it always propels your faith because he has called us to emulate him and follow his example. And there are many things that Jesus gave an example for, and there are some things that he just flat out said, do this. And baptism is one of that. One of the questions I get, a couple of real quick things, and then we're going to continue with our worship. What if I'm a believer and I don't want to get baptized? What if I don't ever get baptized? Am I not saved? If somehow if I die today and I leave here and I haven't gone in the tank, am I just messed up? And my answer to you is absolutely not. There is no power in what we're going to do this morning other than the obedience to follow the commands of Jesus. God looks on our hearts. God knows the desire of our hearts. And if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Scripture literally says that. But what we are offering you is an opportunity to walk as a disciple, to following the words and the commands of Jesus. Perhaps a better question is, what if I don't get saved? Is why not? And if you don't today, then that's fine. We'll do this another time. But I would ask you, just follow the example of Jesus. To be a disciple is to be a learner, to be a follower, to be a student of his. And this is one of the first steps and one of the best steps that you can do. I'm excited. I know we have at least two that are going to get baptized today. And I know that both of these young ladies are taking this incredibly serious because they realize that this is life-changing, a life-changing decision that they've made. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. In the next, we're going to sing two more songs. And in these next two songs, if you would like to be baptized and you would like some clothes to change into, and we've got towels too, if you would like some clothes to change into, then is Kim, or Juan, are you going to be in the back? Kim's going to be standing in the back. Just go see Kim. She's walking back there. She'll give you, we've got different sizes that you can take to the bathroom and change. And if you're here prepared to be baptized, if you would just walk up to these seats on the front row. And here's what I want to do. When somebody comes out of the water, what do you think would happen if someone that you cared about was laying dead on the ground and then they stood up and walked away? What would you do? You'd go nuts, wouldn't you? Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And kids, you know that your parents struggle with going nuts, okay? They're very quiet and reserved and very adulty, which is not a whole lot of fun, to be quite honest. So I'm going to need you all to help us. But when we baptize somebody today, when they come out of the water, we want to cheer. Scripture literally says when a person decides to become a follower of Jesus, all heaven erupts in a party. And so we want to have our own party here. Can we do that? All right. And then later in the service, I'm going to talk to you. I just want to close out our series, and then we're going to share communion together. I want to pray with you now, and I hope that today is a time not just for those who are being baptized, but for all of us to remember the incredible gift Jesus gave us. the opportunity to walk step by step with the Creator of the world, and someone who has said, "You are so valuable and I love you so much that I'm willing to give my life for you." Let's celebrate that and worship that together as a community. Would you pray with me? Literally, this is one of the greatest honors for me as a pastor to ever get to do, is to baptize someone. The opportunity for somebody to say, "I am going to be a follower of Jesus," that is just huge. And so I think we actually have three today that are going to get baptized. And if anybody else, here's what we'll do. It's a little bit of trouble to fill this thing up with water. So if you decide at any time this morning that you want to, we'll stop whatever we're doing and baptize somebody else, okay? And so anytime for the rest of this service, we'll do this. Here's what we're going to do is I'm going to have them come up one at a time and just get into the tank. They're going to sit down, and literally the decision you guys are making is to be a follower of Jesus. And so what I'm going to ask each of you is, what is your decision today? And you can say whatever you want, or you can just say, "I want to be a follower of Jesus." And then I'm going to baptize you. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it's literally baptizing in the name of the Trinity. The Trinity is involved in all of salvation and all of creation and all of the world. We baptize in the name of the Trinity because we believe that God is one God in three persons. And so when you come out, I want you to literally realize and feel, "I am a new creation," if you don't already. As I said before, the water doesn't make you any more of a Christian than you are already. But walking in faith and walking in obedience to Christ is a huge step in discipleship. And when they come out of the water, what are we going to do? We're going to go nuts, right? That's right. We're going to go nuts in here, because that's what's going on in heaven. And so, again, if anybody would like to get baptized at any point in today's service, we'll stop whatever we're doing and we'll do it right then. And you can feel confident that you're walking in obedience with Christ. All right. Janice, are you ready? Okay. This is Janice. Everybody say hello to Janice. Yeah. All right. Go ahead and yeah. Need some help? Okay. All right. And just kind of walk up here, sit down. All right. And it's not cold, is it?
No.
Feels good. All right. Okay. We worked on that. All right. All right, Janice. Because you have decided to become a follower of Jesus, I get to baptize you as my sister in Christ, as a fellow child and heir of God. And just tell everyone, what is the can't talk. I'm so nervous. What is the decision that you've made?
I want to follow Christ.
All right. Well, then it is my pleasure and my honor to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Very good. All right, and Wanda will take care of you right here. Awesome job. Good job. All right. Marie, are you ready? Guys, this is Marie. Everybody say hello, Marie. All right, are you ready? Okay, step in. Yeah, it's warm. We warmed this thing up. We got all the preschoolers in there. Never mind. I'm just kidding. It would be effective, but I'm just kidding, you know. All right. Marie, it is my honor to baptize you because you are my sister and fellow child and heir of God. What is the decision that you're making today? Awesome. Amen. All right. Well, because of your decision, you grab your nose. I'm going to grab your hand. You can grab my other arm with your other hand. There you go. Because of your decision to follow Christ, it is my honor to baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Good job. And then Wanda will take care of you right here.
Good job.
Turn around that way. There you go. All right. Okay. We have another. This is Diesel. Everybody say hi, Diesel. Here you go, buddy. Ready? There we go. All right. Wait, here, you stand up for a minute, because you'll disappear in just a second. All right? This is Diesel. We've already celebrated the successful capture of a raccoon this morning. And if you haven't seen the raccoon, it's outside in the truck. But Diesel, you have made a decision. What is your decision today? You want to follow Christ. Awesome. Well, it is my honor, it is my pleasure, because I get to baptize you as my brother. Can you believe that? It's like we're brothers. I'm like a big brother, older brother, but we're brothers. So.
You're like an uncle.
I'm like an uncle, he said. What? All right, so have a seat. Here we go. All right. Well, it is my pleasure and my honor to baptize you as my brother. And if I want you to grab your notes, I'll grab my hand. And so I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right, good job, awesome. All right. Oh, let me help you. You
can't get out.
You're going to stay here for the whole service. All right. All right, awesome. Okay, is there anybody else? Okay. All right. We're going to continue with our service. I have a video I want to show you and share a few things with you in our worship service. Guys, you can go ahead and take the lights down. And when you go to Come On, Let's Go, you have the opportunity to click on multiple different stories of people. And all the billboards that you see, you will see their story on the website. There it is. Sean's put the website up. Now, Come On, Let's Go has several different purposes. One purpose is solely just to get the message of the gospel out to a community that's hearing every other message, but they're not hearing the message of Christ. Or if they are hearing it, they're hearing it in some weird, random way, or some church has messed up or done something weird. We want to give them a positive opportunity to hear stories of lives that have been changed, lives that have had severe things happen, lives that have been following Christ and just want to share who Christ is. It's an awesome opportunity to go on, and no matter who you are or what your background is, you will actually find somebody's story that will relate to where you are in life. Once you click on that story, you have the opportunity to hear some teaching from local pastors, also from some people that you'll be familiar with from the national scene, like Lee Strobel. Some of you may be familiar with Lee Strobel, a very, very well-known speaker and author who was a former atheist, who wrote The Case for Christ, The Case for Easter, all several different things. And you can go and you can actually hear the gospel or hear about certain topics if you're dealing with depression, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, drug abuse, any of those things, you can go and find those opportunities. It's also a place where you can send your friends to go see. So when you see the billboard, if it creates curiosity, you'll go to the website, have the opportunity to experience all those things. If you hear someone's testimony, then they actually have. Can you scroll down? Will that scroll down at all? No? Okay. It actually will show the speaker's name. It will say what church they are a part of. And then it will give a contact link that they can actually get in contact. You can get in contact with, well, check out Ben on Facebook. And here's what we would like to do to partner with Come On, Let's Go. I see this as a positive way to influence our community in a way that creates curiosity, much in the same way that we try to create curiosity. And so one of the ways that we can immediately get involved, we have some of the little forms that he held up. Bob, by the way, is going to be here in 2 weeks to talk about this. I'm giving you a teaser. Bob's coming himself to talk to us about this. You have a form that if you have a story that you would be willing to share and have placed on the Come On, Let's Go website and possibly on a billboard in the area, which if you don't, that's fine. You don't have to. But if you would be interested in that, Bob has invited us to be a part of this. And you can fill out this form. They'll be on the table in the back. Just give some contact information. We'll get in touch with you. We'll have you get in touch with some of the folks from Come On, Let's Go. And we would love to film some videos for you sharing your story. Every single one of us has a story that matters. Every single one of us has a story that will help somebody else at a stage of life that they need to hear it. And so this is one way for us to get involved, and I hope that we can embrace that and do that. I would love for us to have someone or several people sign up to share their stories that we may even be able to video and show when he comes in a couple of weeks. So if you're interested, then there are several of these half sheets on the back table where our sign-up sheets are. You'll also see there a sign-up for Starting Point. We have our next Starting Point next Sunday. If you'd like to come and be a part of Starting Point, if you have questions about that, come see me. Also, if you're interested in signing up to help provide a meal for Room in the Inn, we're going to be doing that in March, and there's a sign-up sheet for that. But pick one of these up, fill it out, either hand it to me or Sean Cassidyval, who runs our slideshow back here. He's heading up. He's worked with J103. He's good friends with Bob. He's going to be heading up this partnership with them. You can either see him, see me, or just put this in the offering bucket when it comes by a little bit later. And this is just one way that I think we can get involved in sharing the message of Christ in a creative way, in a way that seems to be making some headway in Chattanooga, and we hope will begin to make headway around our country. So that's Come On, Let's Go, and we just wanted to give you an initial understanding. We're going to let Bob share more of the details and how it's going. They're getting thousands and thousands of hit every month. So this is a great opportunity to be a part of. All right, that's my long lead-in to sum up our series. And honestly, we could close out, we could sing, have communion, and we could leave. And that's about what we're going to do. Because God is a good God that we can celebrate, not just on Sundays, but any day of the week. And I really honestly can't think of a better way to celebrate the greatness of God than by celebrating baptism. People claiming proclaiming that they are going to be a follower of Jesus and they want other people to know. To see that in adults and children and the ministry that is happening at Journey because of you and because many of you who are working with our kids. That's a great testimony of worship to God. But I really do want everyone in this room to understand the context of freedom. That freedom is something that you can experience. And what we see time and time again is that once someone makes that initial decision and they decide, I want to be a follower of Jesus, I want to be a new person, they oftentimes find themselves trapped again in some kind of life that they thought they had given up. And we believe that when Jesus died for our sins, he died to give us freedom permanently. There's a story that we've been following. If you'll put that picture up on the screen, there's a story we've been following. This is Pastor Yusuf. He is an Iranian pastor. Have any of you heard Pastor Yusuf's story? It's been making its rounds on social media. He's an Iranian pastor who's been in prison now for over 2 years, and he's been sentenced to death because he will not denounce his faith in Christ and return to Islam. He has, as you can tell, a wife and 2 young kids, and he is refusing to renounce his faith. Which means any moment, I haven't checked it today, but any moment his life can be taken from him. Whenever I hear a story like that, I have to ask myself, what compels a person to sacrifice their life for their faith? I've never had to make that choice. And if you've made that choice, I would love to hear your story. You need to fill out a Come On, Let's Go thing, by the way. I've never had to make that choice. But yet it tells us that there are people that their faith is so real and so strong. The freedom they've experienced in Christ is so overwhelmingly more valuable than even their own life that they will give up everything for their faith. And I want you to just ask yourself, this is one story. There will be thousands, tens of thousands of stories like his in the next year. This is one story. What compels a person to do that, but then compels others to be still enslaved to an old way of life, thinking, I don't even know if I want to follow Jesus anymore? There's a difference, isn't there? And what my desire is not that your faith is ever tested in the same way as his is, but that you would experience every bit of a life with Christ that he is willing to sacrifice his life for. And for me, I don't say this just as a pastor. This is what I want for my life. This is what I want for my kids' life. This is what I want for my wife's life. This is what I want for your life. Because if Scripture is true, if it's true enough to point us to how to go to heaven, it's true enough to point us to the kind of life that's full of joy that he promises you'll have. So never, ever, ever let your faith be something that gets caged again. It cannot be something that you just let go, or it's just not valuable, or it's just not important anymore. If that's the case, all I can say is you don't know the Jesus I know, and I want to talk to you. Because the Jesus I know, he binds up the brokenhearted. He gives purpose to those without purpose. He gives hope to those without hope. And I will tell you this. I grew up in a very loving family. I went to school and I had a bunch of friends in school. But there was a point in my life I was very lonely. At the moment that I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior, I have never experienced that type of loneliness again. Because once you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is there with you, walking with you. It's so beautiful, the value of what we have to give up to follow him. When we baptize somebody in the water, we talk about going under the water, you're dying to yourself, you're no longer that person. There is something in every one of us with that thought that says, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, I don't know that I want to give up who I am. But what we find once you make that decision is you're giving up all the bad stuff, all the stuff you don't need. You get to maintain all the good stuff. And then you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to give up that old life, and I don't mean just as changing your behavior. I mean the way you see yourself, the way you see the world. These walls, one day they're going to be gone. But yet we live in a spiritual world that will go on forever. God is at work around us. If you live a life and you don't ever see God work, it's because you're not looking or asking to see God work, because God is constantly at work around us. And I want you to experience that. Psalm 102 says this, "Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created," that's you, "may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height from heaven. The Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners." That's who I was. That's who you were. To set free those who were doomed to die. "That they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord," which is why we worship, why we talk about come on, let's go, why we tell people about Jesus. We declare in Zion the name of the Lord. "And in Jerusalem his praise, when people gather together just like this and kingdoms to worship the Lord for what he has done and given us." That is what worship is. Worship is it. That's a great song. I love that song. Worship, great songs propel us because music has incredible power. But it is what he has done for us, the life we experience through him, that causes us to praise and to worship. In John 8, it says this, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will" what? "Set you free." Yet for so many of us, we don't want to open the Bible because we're scared it's going to condemn something that we enjoy. And so it's easier just not to know and to live out his word. But that truth is to set you free. It's to set me free. Whenever we walk away from what Jesus has called us to within our lives, we are not walking to an area of freedom from religion. We are walking back into bondage, because walking in the truth is what brings freedom. So we abide in the word, not so we have a list of rules, because we get to walk in truth and walk in freedom. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham." In other words, we got it covered. I don't need that. "We are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone," which is what many of us say. They didn't get it. "How is it that you say we will become free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let me say this just as a side note. For those of you that are here today and you have something going on in your life that believes disqualifies you from experiencing freedom in Christ, I want you to know that if you have given your life to Him, you are going to sin. How do I know that? Because I have a mirror installed in my house. You are going to sin as a follower of Jesus. That does not mean that you have to be a slave to sin or that you have lost your freedom. It means that you're experiencing spiritual warfare that is trying to enslave you rather than experiencing the freedom that His truth brings. And so that is what we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Spiritual warfare is a battle for your mind. The reason Scripture says that you need to renew your mind, you need to focus your mind, you need to think on things that are good, that are right, that are just, things of the Spirit. The battle for your mind. If you have been set free as a child of God, you are free. And just as Galatians 5 tells us, don't be subject again to that burden of slavery. You are free. Those who have been baptized today by following Jesus, they are free. But there will be moments that they will not feel free. Just as there are moments that I don't feel free. That is a temptation not from God. That is not a reality that is true. That is my struggle with maintaining that freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So what do we do with that? Three things I want to share with you. Write these down. They're in YouVersion, or I want, just think about these things. Three quick things. Number one, how do we experience constant freedom? Number one, you abide in His Word. Abide in His Word. That means you're in it all the time, reading it all the time. YouVersion.com. You don't have a Bible, you have one in YouVersion.com if you have an internet. In YouVersion.com, if you're going down the road and you can't read, you don't have time to read the Bible, there's about, I don't know, there's an umpteen audible versions that you can click on. NIV is one, I don't know what the others are, that will read the Bible to you while you're going down the road. Abide in His Word. Abiding does not just mean I read it. It means that I'm living it. I'm in it. It's surrounding me. Whenever I read something and it is very clear God is saying, this is how I want you to live, then we live that way. We abide in His Word. Scripture is not something that we do just on Sundays. It's not a luxury. It is the very heartbeat of the child of God. Abide in His Word. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, Jesus said. If we choose not to abide in His word, what does that mean? For some of you, I've had many conversations with people, and they just feel, I can't understand it. I'm not a scholar. Let me tell you something. If you have to be a scholar in order to understand the Scripture, then God is not who He said He was. Literally, Scripture says that as a child of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and it makes His word alive in you. And He will give you what you need to learn. But I will tell you this. What I've learned in my faith is that if I have not made a conscious decision to be a lifelong learner, I will not experience lifelong freedom. I will feel in bondage. And if you think I'm an academic, just talk to my wife or my parents. I couldn't wait to graduate from school. I'm not an academic. Deidre, she was summa cum laude. I can't even say it. She came home one day and got a B on a paper. She's working on her master's. She got a B. She was about fit to be tied. I was like, are you kidding me? You got a B? That's good. That's great, you know? I can't believe I got a B. She gave me a B, you know? I wish I had some more B's, but I'm not an academic, but I do love the Word of God because it's real, it's alive, it works. Whenever it says to do something and then there will be a result, that result always happens. Abide in it. Second one is this, follow His example. Jesus didn't ask us to do anything He didn't demonstrate for us, including fighting temptation. Here's an interesting story, and if you go back and look at the timeline of the stories of Jesus, which most of us don't understand the timeline, we just understand segments, we don't really know how they fit together. Jesus literally went down and was baptized by John, and then He literally went from that baptism to the desert to be tempted for 40 days. Those events happened simultaneously. He's experienced everything that we struggle with. He was able to do it without sin. He will empower us to fight those temptations as well. Follow his example. If someone wants to give you a list of things that it means to be a follower of Jesus, and they come up with those lists, all you have to do is go back and follow Jesus' example. He gives us what we need. And what did he say the two greatest commandments were? Love God, love people. Not go to church. Read your Bible 3 times a day. Give so much of your income. And give a checklist. Love God, love people. Your heart will change. You will experience the fullness of relationship with him. If we can master those two things, everything else just falls into place. Follow his example. And third is this. Celebrate your freedom. I just want you to know, just as for me personally, there are days I have to literally say, I am free. Because I don't feel free. There are days I struggle with temptation, and I have to say, I am free. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what the world says. Jesus says, I am free. Celebrate your freedom. Embrace your freedom. Live out your freedom. Beautiful promise that he has given us. Philippians 1:6, if you like me, sometimes have prayers like, God, maybe you just need to take me out because I don't seem to be getting it. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion the day of Jesus Christ. If you're not all that, you will be. God is at work within your life. You will be. As we close out this series, I cannot encourage you enough to live freely. All I know is once you've tasted it, you never want to give it up. If you have tasted a freedom, don't ever lose it. Celebrate your freedom. Follow the example of Jesus. Abide in him. I'm telling you, the life of freedom that you experience in Christ is greater than anything else that you can come up with on the face of the planet. And when all of this is said and done, something even greater awaits us. And I'm thankful for that. I want to pray with you, then I want to share just a few things with you. I want you to remember, the band's going to come up in just a minute. We'll let you out a little early today. I know you're disappointed in. We have two more songs that we're going to do today. And in this next one, you see sitting in front of us in the middle, you see bread and you see juice. I want to invite you as a testimony of your freedom, as a testimony of what God has done for you, to celebrate communion, just as we've celebrated baptism because Jesus told us to. And when you take that piece of bread, or if you break that bread off of the loaf, that you recognize Jesus' body was broken for this freedom for us to experience. As you dip it into the juice, that symbolizes his blood that was shed for you and for me. You were worth shedding his blood for. As you do that, have your own time of worship and prayer with God, thanking him for the gifts that he has done. I want to pray with you, and the band's going to come up, and we'll continue our worship. Father, God, I thank you for all the gifts you've given us that we don't deserve. God, I thank you that we have the opportunity to come and to follow you, to be baptized, to celebrate communion, to sing songs about you and to you. And God, you look at us as a loving, proud father looks at his kids rather than looking at us with disdain and judgment. We don't measure up. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made clean, we are forgiven, we are made free. I thank you that you express that love to us. Thank you for your word that we can abide and we can know your heart and live out the example of Jesus. God, I thank you for those three that were baptized today. I pray for those that will be baptized in the future that have made the greatest life-altering decision they can ever make to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Pray that today they will experience your power and they will experience your grace. They will experience your presence in a way that says, you have done something that is timeless. Father, I pray that you would help us all to live within that freedom. For those that are here today and they're struggling in their own faith, and maybe they're even questioning whether they have any, God, you have an incredible way of ministering to our individual needs and our individual hearts, and I pray that you would speak to them today. And if that means that today they need to make a decision to become a follower, then God, I pray that they will make that decision, that we will confess with our mouth that you are Lord. We will follow your example. We believe in our hearts that you are who you said you are. You did die, and you did rise out of the grave. Father, I pray that they would experience freedom that comes in truly following you. I pray for those that are here today and they are struggling with temptation and they are struggling with fears and doubts. They are struggling with, am I really a Christian? For those that have been set free, I pray that they will celebrate freedom and that they will experience you in a way that it brings new life and new energy in their faith. God, I just thank you for your love and your forgiveness. I thank you for this community of people that can celebrate and share each other's burdens. We can do life with as we are, not pretending to be something that we're not. And I thank you that for the love that is growing between this community. Father, help us demonstrate your love in a way that is real and life-changing to our community. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.